The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jewish authorities, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the marks of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." And Thomas answered him, saying, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and through believing, you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. We have one person, young person this morning. Did you want to come up for a children's sermon? Okay, then we'll move on. We'll move on with the sermon. I know you well enough to know how mature you are, and I know you'll get a lot out of the sermon as well. My sisters and my brothers in Christ, will you pray with me? Come, Holy Spirit, and move through the proclamation of the Holy Gospel, that indeed we may see Jesus. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be holy and whole-making for us and for the salvaging of the world which you by your grace have already redeemed. Amen. When I was in seminary, a couple of other seminarians and I were visiting a local Lutheran church. It was one of those typical Midwestern churches with what we used to call a gingerbread altar. That is an altar against the eastern wall, before which the pastor would stand facing it with the people, directing the attention of all towards the Holy East, from which, according to the tradition of the church, we anticipate our Lord Jesus to appear at the end of days. Behind the altar would typically rise an ornate Victorian display of spirals and niches, painted white with gold leaf accents, and a large statue of Jesus in the center, hands outstretched like this. If you've spent any time in the Midwest and you're Lutheran, you have seen what I'm talking about. Perhaps they had renovated the altar area, I don't recall, but the statue of Jesus was now in the narthex of the church, in front of the vestibule wall, facing towards the doors that one would enter from the street. The statue had been, quote, restored. One of my friends looked at it and proclaimed with authority beyond his education and experience, but authority nonetheless. And he looked at it and he said, "That's heretical." "What?" we asked. He said, "Look at his hands. No wounds, no scars." And he was right. It was heretical iconography. The risen Christ is recognized how? By the disciples and those who persecute him, by his scars. The epistle and the gospel readings both make reference to the wounds of Jesus. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7 says this, "He is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him." And later in the Revelation chapter 5, we read, "Then I saw between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders a lamb standing as if it had been slaughtered." In the gospel reading for this day, we read, in John chapter 20, a week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." The scars of Jesus are, for the apostolic community and for us, the places from which the grace and peace of God flows to us. Grace is pure, unmerited gift, and peace, shalom, to use the Hebrew word Jesus undoubtedly used while gathering with those disciples, shalom is not simply the absence of conflict, but the presence of wholeness and well-being. It is not detente between God and humanity. That's not what peace is from God. But a forthright truth and reconciliation commission called by God, in which he names our sin, he takes them on his shoulders, and he crucifies their power to hold us captive, putting death to death through the body of his Son, so that the healing of God's love for us flows freely towards us. The wounds of Good Friday, inflicted by the powers of state and religion, acting out the rebellion of mankind through eternity against God, are now swept away. But these wounds are not camouflaged by Easter, but rather they are glorified by Easter Day and its season. In the hymn, "Crown Him with Many Crowns," we sing these words, "Crown Him the Lord of love, behold His hands and side, rich wounds still visible above in beauty glorified. No angels in the sky can fully bear that sight, but downward bends their burning eye at mysteries so bright." As Isaiah quaked as he beheld the throne room scene in which the seraphim called out antiphonally to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts," we also ought to bend low to acknowledge that heaven is touching earth at the altar as Jesus comes to us to give us his own wounded self under gifts of bread and wine. In those moments, the veil is lifted and Jesus comes to us on the altar to offer to us the sacrifice once made as he gives to us his body and blood in and with and under bread and wine, sanctified by his word, that we may eat and drink to receive his unmerited grace of forgiveness and the healing of his blessings of peace and shalom, the cessation of conflict, and the presence of wholeness. In the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians in chapter 11, we are reminded by the apostle, "Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." It does not say that we proclaim the resurrection. That is assumed, but rather his death. Death is the ultimate wound, and God loves us even unto experiencing human death through the body of his Son, so that we may be assured that there is no place to which we might descend that is beyond the comprehension and the compassion of God. There is no wound in our body or soul that God is not in it with us. There is no fracture along the horizontal line of humanity that God does not stretch out his body on it to offer redemptive grace This is what the prophet Isaiah was saying when he referred to the Messiah as Emmanuel, God with us, Immanu with us, El, God, Emmanuel, God with us. When we take into ourselves the presence of Christ Jesus under the gifts of bread and wine, we are receiving all that comes with that. Luther in the Small Catechism put it this way: what is the benefit of such eating and drinking? We are told in the words, for you and for the forgiveness of sins. By these words, Luther says, the forgiveness of sin and life and salvation are given to us in the sacrament. For where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation, and the kingdom of God is making itself known among us, not in a distant place and in another time, but on this table where Christ comes to fellowship with us. Said differently, the presence of Christ and all that comes with this reestablishes a relationship between God and us, salvages our human experience. Nothing is wasted. Nothing is wasted. All is renewed in Christ. The late and blessed Henry Nouwen spoke of the wounded healer. As we share in the companionship of Christ and of his sufferings, God then utilizes the very wounded places in our lives to bring us into greater wholeness, and we exercise our mutual ministry given us in holy baptism, when Christ's claim was put upon us to be the very points through which healing, the healing of his wounds extends through our wounds to others. Do not be afraid, dear sisters and brothers in Christ, to expose your wounds to God. That is how we become more whole. And recognize that where you are most vulnerable, where you have scar tissue, you are so needed by those who have fresh wounds of their own. Who better to comfort grieving parents than a parent who has previously lost a child? Who better to help a fellow addict than one who has been through and practices recovery? Who better to come alongside those whose hearts have been broken than the person whose heart has mended from being broken? It's in the shadow places of our lives that we receive real illumination if we will go there. And there is, remember, no place we can go that God hasn't already entered it before us. Do not be afraid of your wounds or the wounds of others. We are all companions on a healing journey. As the poet Rumi said, we are all just walking each other back home. Or in the words of one seminary professor, we are all beggars sharing a crust of bread with each other. We are wounded companions, but companions nonetheless. That marvelous word is made of two Latin roots, com, meaning with, and panis, meaning bread. We who walk this journey of faith share with those in our company the bread of life freely and graciously in the midst of an often hostile world, but offering instead hospitality, the hospitality of God who meets us on the journey. And this sharing is done most winsomely when we acknowledge that we do so with wounded hands of our own. In the name of Christ Jesus, amen.